Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the Department of Cruel and Unusual Punishment here at Car Talk Plaza.
Does
this involve me?
It does, yeah.
Am I the recipient?
I want you to pay attention because there'll be a quiz at the end of this. A Russian scientist and a Czechoslovakian scientist had spent their entire lives studying the majestic grizzly bear. Every year they petition their respective governments to allow them to go to Yellowstone Park to study the wondrous beasts. Finally, their request was granted, and they immediately flew to Yellowstone. They reported to the local ranger station and were told that it was the grizzly mating season, and it was much too dangerous to go out and study the animals.
Mm.
They pleaded that this was their only chance, and finally the ranger relented. The Russian and the Czechoslovakian were given cell phones and told to report in each and every day. For several days, they called in, and then nothing was heard from the two scientists. The rangers mounted a search party and found the scientists' camp completely ravaged. Then they followed the trail of a male and female bear. They found the female and decided they had to kill the animal to find out if she had eaten the scientists, because they feared an international incident.
This is a grizzly tale. Sorry about that.
It is. They killed the female and cut open the bear's stomach, only to find the remains of only the Russian. One ranger turned to the other and said, "You know what this means, don't you?" "Of course," the other ranger said. "What?"
Oh. We'll have to check. Something to do with check. The check's in the mail.
That's it! If the Russian is in the female, the check is in the mail.
Oh, God.
Well, I would call that cruel and unusual punishment.
For our listeners. Well, if you think that was cruel and unusual, wait till you hear the rest of the show and some of our answers. Anyway, if you have a question about your car or anything else, the number to call is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 8. Good, check is in the mail.
I knew you'd get it.
Yeah, you did, didn't you?
I did.
888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Yeah, hello. This is Sal from Long Island, New York.
Hi, Sal from Long Island.
We never would have guessed you're from New York. What's going on, Sal?
I have a 1989 Chevy Cavalier Z24. When I start it in the morning, put it in drive, the car will not go for about 2 to 3 minutes until it warms up. The cold of the weather, in other words, in the wintertime, 8 to 10 minutes I sit there.
Oh, yeah.
If I put it in reverse, it'll go in reverse immediately, but not drive.
Mm. Oh, it's an automatic.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
It'll go into drive.
So you put it in drive and it won't move?
Won't move, just sit there.
The engine will rev up, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like you're in neutral.
It's just like being in neutral.
I think your wallet's going to be in neutral pretty soon, pal.
Oh, where's the neutral? It's going to be in reverse for a long time. The Z24, boy, this sounds like a hot car, doesn't it? Z. I mean, something about those X's and Z's that makes you think.
It just does something to you.
Yeah, I mean, but the Z belies the true nature of this car.
Yeah.
You know, four-cylinder, 12 horsepower. Your riding lawnmower probably has a few more horsepower.
Six.
But I'm sure you felt this for a while, and it may have even begun to do this last winter.
It's been doing it for at least 2 years.
It has. Getting worse and worse.
No, basically the same.
During which time you must have taken it someplace, and they must have told you, "Sal, you're going to need a transmission rebuild."
Oh, no.
No one's told you that.
No, my mechanic friend, I have a mechanic. See, when you have a good mechanic, you treat him like a member of the family.
Yes.
And this guy's been very good with me.
Yeah.
And he said, "It's minor.
It's minor."
He says, "There's something in the tranny. There's some kind of a switch or something in there."
Switch.
And he says, it's not going to be a couple of $100. See, but when I hear transmission, I'm looking at $1,000. I'm afraid to take it.
Yeah.
No,
I presume that someone has checked the tranny fluid.
Yes, yes.
And maybe you even changed it?
Yes.
And, of course, that didn't help.
It made no difference.
It can't get dirty because it's not doing anything. It can only get dirty if it's moving the car.
But, you see, once the car is warmed up sufficiently and I drive, the acceleration is fantastic. I know because I had a little bit of a road race with a 1964. And I don't do this.
Volkswagen.
It just happened. Volkswagen. No. Corvette, the guy had four on the floor, and I stayed with him up to second gear. I'm serious.
Really?
So once the car is warm, I can go out with it, shut it off, put it on. It's normal.
Well, here's what you need. You can do one of two things. There's no doubt in my mind that this winter it's going to be
impossible to drive.
Worse than it was last winter. Okay? But wait a minute. You have a choice here. You can go out, and for $1,287, you can have the transmission rebuilt. Or for about $200, you can buy a remote starter.
I have it. That's the only way I can put up with it. I started from in the house in the winter.
You thought of everything, Sal.
You're all set.
This was my son's car. He already had it in there.
Yeah. So you started up from inside the house, and by the time you go out, it's moving.
Just about, yeah.
The hell with it. Let it stay where it is. It's good.
Okay.
Do you get up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom ever? I mean, like at 4 a.m. or something?
Seldomly. Start it then?
I would think so.
and sell it next summer.
Good luck, Selvin.
July.
Save up for the transmission. I think the clutches are cooked, and that's a telltale sign.
See, I feel so bad. I gave up a 1974 Chrysler Brougham.
Oh, yeah.
Only because I got tired of looking at the street when I was driving.
Well, check out the junkyards. You might be able to find a tranny.
And have your friend, what's his name?
Steve.
Steve. Have Steve throw it in. Tell him it's minor work, you know. Throw this transmission. It won't take you long.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks for your call, Sal.
All right, listen, love your show. Thanks a lot.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Sal, you are doing a great service to many parts of the country. There are people who live, for example, in Phoenix, Arizona, and they've never heard anyone speak the language like you do. You know what I mean? I mean, I've listened to New Yorkers. But you are the epitome of a New Yorker.
The quintessential.
The quintessential New Yorker. And to top it off, your name is Sal. Man, you've made my day.
See you later.
All right, take care. Have a good day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Hey, was he perfect or what?
Couldn't be better. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. A lawyer on Car Talk.
Hi, my name is Quentin from Vancouver, Washington.
Quentin.
Hi, Quentin.
Hello.
Wow, that's a name, huh?
It's a family name. I was named after my godfather, who was named after Teddy Roosevelt's fifth child. So.
Well, wasn't everybody?
The reason I'm calling is because my grandfather, God rest his soul, who passed away in 1986, in 1985, he drove his 72 Dodge Dart Swinger into the garage. And
really?
They never did anything to it. His hat is sitting on the seat where he left it.
Wow.
It's been in a garage in Portland, Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
But no fluids were drained out of it, and it's mine if I want it.
Oh, it's got to be. You got to do it, man.
What?
I was just going to say, why would you want it?
Oh,
that's not what my wife is saying, and I got to live with her.
A dart swinger? You're going to miss the chance at a dart swinger?
I have to say, I mean, as you may know, I am a lover of old cars.
Yeah.
But I have to also say that the 72 Dart was maybe one of the worst cars ever made on this planet.
Oh, no.
And
the 74.
If not the worst, the ugliest.
But that's the car that I went fishing with him.
No, I'll tell you. Yes, and it obviously has certain value to you beyond its actual monetary value. For sure. And I'll say that this preceded the dark years at Chrysler by a couple of years. It didn't start getting bad for those guys at Chrysler until 74, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 80, 81, 82,
right.
83. I mean, those are the real bad years. But 72, they were on the cusp of the bad years.
Does it have a 318 engine?
It was getting dark, but it wasn't real pitch black yet.
I think it's got squirrels and mice under the hood.
Oh.
That's probably what it's got now. I mean, I've been told that obviously all the seals are going to have to be replaced.
No, don't listen to that baloney.
No.
That's not true. I mean, that's some kind of old wives' tale that if you let a car sit, as soon as you turn the key, all the seals break and oil starts squirting out from everything.
If it does, you just put it right back in the garage and put the hat back and leave it there. I mean, come on.
Yeah. No, that's probably not going to happen.
Yeah, what probably is going to happen is that you'll have to do something to the brakes. You may have to change belts and whatever. You'll obviously want to change the oil because they do tell you change it every 3,000 miles or 18 years, whichever comes first.
Yeah, every millennium.
But other than that, there's probably not a heck of a lot you have to do to it. And there's not a heck of a lot you should do to it except to make sure it's safe to drive. Don't forget, you're willing to just walk away from this car right now, so it isn't worth very much to you.
Yeah, no, not a lot.
Except don't forget, too, that when Grandpa drove it into the garage that day, it was already 14 years old.
Yes.
And who knows what kind of shape it was in then. And it's possible that when in 1986, when he drove it in there, it needed $2,000 worth of front-end work.
Right. He might have found that out, and that's what killed him.
And those are 1986 dollars.
Yeah, those are 1986 dollars. So, I mean, it could well need lots of things because you don't know what kind of shape it was in when he drove it in. Because old geezers, they don't care about it. What would be your attitude if you were 90 years old? I guess I got the undercoating done. Yeah, right. Your doctor tells you don't even buy any green bananas. You're not going to go around replacing ball joints.
So do you have kids of your own?
I have 12-year-olds.
Oh, you got to take them fishing.
But yeah.
If nothing else, in this car once.
Yeah. In fact, you can fit 15 or 16
and then you know, then you know what you do? You push it into the lake.
Did you like the ride, kids? Okay.
Hey, we're walking back.
Well, I could be buried in it.
You could be.
Yeah, at sea. Yeah. Burial at sea.
Yeah, but you could get it running enough so you can get it to the lake with the kids and then go fishing that one time and then sell
it. Yeah, well, my wife will be happy to hear this.
I think so.
Well, I mean, it's easy to, if you have a mechanic somewhere near where Grandpa used to live, you want someone to check it out.
Yeah, and we don't want your wife to hate us. I mean, our wives hate us, but there's no reason why you should be losing out here.
Right.
Why
right.
spoil your day?
Right. Definitely. Well, listen, thanks for your time.
Quentin, it was a pleasure, and I'm sure you'll find out that this car is just what you think it is.
Oh, yeah. See, at least I could get a hat out of it.
There you go.
All right, thank you.
See you later. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
That's a tough choice because it's not a memorable car.
Well, I would say it's the car that had the most misleading name.
Yeah. Swinger?
No.
what were they? No, it's one of those. We know that advertising works.
And we know that they lie.
Except when it's really stupid.
Right, except when they go over they go over the top.
When they tell you something and you say, come on, then it doesn't work.
Right, like the Plymouth.
Dodge?
The Plymouth Scamp, the Duster.
Yeah.
We didn't know what a scamp and a duster were, so we went for them.
But
Swinger. We knew what swingers were, and this car...
This wasn't it.
Wasn't it. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255, something like that. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Jesse. I'm calling from Somerville, Mass.
Hi, Jesse.
Really? Where in Somerville?
Up on Summer Street.
Near
the hospital.
Near Union Square.
Yep, exactly.
So what's going on?
So I have a 93 Toyota Camry, and every time I fill my car up with gas, it smells terribly of gas for about 3 days afterwards when I drive it around town.
Mm. You don't notice, aside from the smell, you don't notice anything else like gasoline on the ground?
No, we actually drove it and parked it and moved it from a parking spot, and my husband checked to see if there was any dripping, and there wasn't. So we didn't notice any of that. And the smell seems to be coming from the trunk.
Yeah.
So if you open up the trunk, you get more of a gas smell. But even when you're just driving it, it smells very strongly of gas.
Well, you have a hole in the tank.
Hole.
Yeah, I believe. And it's probably at the top of the tank.
Okay.
I was going to say it was in the filler tube.
It could be that, too. And gasoline is getting, you know, that filler neck might pass through the trunk.
Mm.
It would make sense.
But I was going to ask the same question you're about to ask.
Oh, I had no questions.
You had no questions?
No, I just had answers.
Oh.
But that was it.
You weren't going to ask, is the check engine light on?
It is not.
No.
Yeah, I knew it
wasn't. How about the Russian engine light? Is that
on? Yeah, the check is in the mail.
well, here's how you're going to find it. There are two tried and true methods. One is the match method,
which we don't recommend.
We don't recommend anymore. But you can
anymore. We used to recommend this method to everybody, but there was a funny. Never mind.
Yeah. Well, one of our guys is doing Lefty. Anyway, the way to find leaks of this kind is to take it to a repair shop and have them use the exhaust gas analyzer.
Exhaust gas analyzer.
This is the same thing they stick in your tailpipe when you go for an emissions test.
Okay.
Except they're going to use it to find one of the
in
things
the trunk.
It measures is the presence of unburned hydrocarbons. And there is no more unburned hydrocarbon than gasoline.
Okay.
So the machine will go crazy when it gets near the leak.
Okay.
And I think they're going to discover your car is the right age to need a gas tank.
So should I, when I go to the repair station, how full should my gas tank be?
Oh, I think you should fill it up. I think you want to give them the full experience.
Okay.
But when you take it in, be sure to stay outside the building because they may be using the match test.
Thank you for
See,
that
Jesse.
Advice.
Good luck.
Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, look, before we answer last week's puzzler, we have a short break to take.
Yeah.
And if you remember, which you don't.
Of course I don't.
The puzzler was about an American GI in Germany trying to pass as a civilian and why he got caught.
Well, the uniform was a dead giveaway.
Thank you.
Everyone knows you don't wear your camouflage to Walmart.
Well, good guess, but that's not it. But I will have the real answer, of course, and we'll take more of your car questions in just a minute. So please stay tuned.
You know this one thing.
And even though the entire Shackleton expedition votes to spend another winter in Antarctica whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR National Public Radio. Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like if you're a dentist and want to remind your patients there are things more painful than a root canal.
You can download hundreds of classic Car Talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly. <you know. laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says, listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler. And this was from my Spies and Imposters series and came from a fellow named John Philibert, who relays the following story. I had just arrived in Germany for my tour of duty with the Army, and I was interested in totally immersing myself in the local culture. I didn't want to stick out, you know, as the typical American GI. So my first weekend there, I bought European label clothes. I went to a European barber and got a European haircut that still complied with military standards, of course. I even bought European-style shoes.
What about the man bag?
Well, he carried a man bag, too. I went completely European, he says, and in every way I could think of. And I toned down my behavior so as to appear non-American.
He didn't sue anybody?
No, didn't sue anybody.
At least for those first few weeks.
That's right. He restrained himself. He continues. Now, I already knew French, and within a few weeks, I had a good amount of German. By then, I was shopping at the German marketplace and eating German food. And as an added benefit, my Scotch-Irish heritage had left me with blonde hair and blue eyes, so I didn't stick out physically, you know?
So he didn't weigh 300 pounds? Because that would give him away as one of us, too.
No, he was an army man. This guy is a svelte. He goes on to say, it was right after a visit to the marketplace that my... You're paying attention. This is the important
part. I'm listening.
That my failure to blend in became apparent. I stood at a crosswalk waiting for the light to change. I had a pair of grocery sacks in hand when a German gentleman walked up and stood beside me, also to wait for the light. I glanced over and gave him a friendly nod. No more. No words were exchanged. His reply was, "Hi, soldier. The question is, how did he know?"
I know.
Yeah?
One of the grocery sacks had a 48-piece bucket of extra crispy in it.
Good guess, but I don't think so. No. The secret here is that he was carrying two grocery bags in one hand. That's what he noticed.
What?
Now, it doesn't take a soldier very long to figure out that if he's carrying anything, like grocery bags, for example, he'd do well to carry both or more of them, if there were, in one hand, the left hand. Why?
So he could salute.
Exactly right. If you're in uniform and you're outdoors, you just might have to render a salute to an officer coming your way.
Yeah.
So that right hand had better be free from any encumbrances like a bag full of groceries. Okay, now he says, I'd been in the Army only a few years, but the idea of having the right hand free had become so ingrained that even when I was in my civvies, not skivvies, civvies, I couldn't help myself, and I was carrying those two bags in my left hand, and that's what gave me away. Well, pretty cute, eh?
Well, it's cute, and I had a similar problem.
Really?
When I was in the military, as you know.
By the way, it took them about 50 years to recover after my brother was mustered out, as they say, right?
Well, I had this special duty that I got. I had to...
Oh, really? Something that your mother would have been proud of?
Well, I was raking leaves.
Oh.
And then I was walking from one area to another, and I had the rake over my right shoulder.
Oh, and of course, carrying it with your right hand.
Carrying it with the wrong hand.
Oh, boy.
And along come a couple of guys who are officers, and what do? I salute them with my left hand.
Oh.
And of course...
You went right to KP
after
that.
KP is exactly right.
So who's our winner this week?
The winner this week is Edward B. Kennedy from Helsinki, Finland.
Get really?
That. He might be a ski umper, you know. We don't know. Anyway, for having his answer selected at random from among all the correct answers we got, Edward is going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at cartalk.com, where he can get a lovely ash gray Dewey Cheatham and Howe t-shirt featuring an exact replica of our window in Harvard Square. Minus the air conditioner, you know.
Well, look, since he's in Helsinki, that $26 is barely going to cover the shipping. Anyway, we'll have a brand new puzzler coming up in the third half of the show. So don't touch that dial, but right now, if you have a question about your car, touch the dial. No, just kidding. Call 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Andrea from Durango, Colorado.
Hi, Andrea.
Andrea.
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, I need a new car.
Don't look at us. Or did we screw up your old one? What's up?
Actually, I have been driving, well, I haven't, but my mom has been driving the 1981 Volvo that I currently drive.
Wow.
For 200,000 plus miles. And next year, I'm going to be moving in with my fiance, who lives about an hour from where I work. So I'm going to be commuting 2 hours a day. And the 1981
Before you get married, you're moving in with them? You're going to live in sin, huh, for some period of time. How's your mother with this? Is she all right?
Well, I think so. They seem to get along, so.
Okay,
yeah.
Just checking.
Well, I mean...
I hate to pry into your personal life.
You are prying into her personal life.
No, but she...
And not only are you prying into her personal life,
judgment.
You're making assumptions about what they're going to do inside the apartment.
Oh, we know what they're going to do. No,
Please give her a break. She called in about a break job or something, and you're probing into her private life.
But Andrea was the one who said she's moving in with her fiancé. I mean...
She did say that. That was a mistake, Andrea.
I did.
Okay, well, anyway, continue.
Okay, so at any rate, this car that, you know, the 1981 Volvo is not going to cut it anymore to do this hour drive. It's a pretty mountainous drive, and in winter it gets snow, and I actually also have to deal with elk as well on the road. So my question kind of is what kind of car I should get. What I really love is the new Mini Coopers. And I've actually test driven them a couple of times, and they're so much fun. But
you don't want a car that's smaller than the elk.
Yeah.
I mean, that might be a good rule of thumb.
That should be a rule of thumb, right. Don't buy a car smaller than the animals that cross the road. Yeah, but if hit moose.
Well, yeah, and I'm also competing. This is SUV land out here, so I'm also competing with all of those guys.
Yeah. Well, I have to say, I love the Mini Cooper.
I do too. It's a fun car.
But I have to say, I wouldn't recommend, if you were my friend or my daughter, I wouldn't recommend the Mini.
Oh.
But I'll tell you what I would recommend.
I'm sorry, but I have to be honest.
No, you're not going to like. You're not going to like what I recommend.
Wait, you want to be my ex-wife? In which case, I would recommend it highly. That's not nice.
No, no. Here, hon, I just bought you one. Oh God.
Oh yeah. All right. What were you going to recommend?
No, see, what I'm going to recommend is going to make you frown, I think. But I'm going to recommend a Subaru Forester.
Okay.
Because it's got four-wheel drive, which you probably would find handy.
Right.
And the Mini doesn't have that. It's probably not a whole lot safer, but somewhat. You know.
Okay, so wait a minute. I'm trying to develop a profile of Andrea here.
Well, I think
you like a Mini?
Yeah. Well, I'm driving a Volvo right now.
You'd like anything, wouldn't you?
Well, no, I want something a little more.
You want
fun.
Something a little sportier.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, okay. But we have to keep in mind that you're going to be driving on snow-covered, mountainy roads.
Right.
For an hour each way. Ooh. Every day.
Ooh. How about a Volvo?
Wait a minute.
How about an S60 all-wheel drive? That's a nice car. Sporty,
okay.
Safe, elk resistant.
Elk just bounce right off.
They slide right off. Yeah, it's got the elk deflectors.
Oh, good.
It's a lot more money than the Subaru. But I got a feeling that money's not a big deal.
No, no, she's got the money.
No, I mean I'd like to keep it under $30,000.
I think you're going to do that.
You might squeak by. You don't need all those seats, do you?
I mean, given what kind of driving you have to do, I would really look for an all-wheel drive vehicle.
Okay.
Yeah, and the Mini ain't going to do it.
All right.
No, I know.
I'm sorry. We have to speak what our hearts tell us.
Well, and that's why I called, because, you know.
Yeah, when you guys relocate to Phoenix, you can get the Mini.
Right, exactly.
All right. Thanks for your call.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Wait, before you take another call, I got an urge to talk to Sal. Can we get Sal back? Call him.
All right. We'll see if you can find Sal. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Dan calling from lovely Pollock Pines, California.
Where, pray tell, is that in California?
Well, it's about halfway between Sacramento and Lake Tahoe in the mountains.
Really?
Oh, boy, that's a nice spot.
Oh, it is. It's beautiful.
Yeah. So what do you do?
What do you do there?
Yeah.
Well, that's part of my question. I work as a ski instructor up at Heavenly in Lake Tahoe, and I have to commute every day 50 miles from here to there.
Life is tough, Dan.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's a snowy, curvy, icy mountain road.
Okay. Well, I recommend the Volvo S60, man. Yeah. We have a 2-for-1 deal. You and Andrea.
I have a 1984 Toyota Tercel four-wheel drive. Great car, 250,000 miles on it, except that the steering's a little funky, and I'm curious whether I'm going to, you know, die in it.
What does the steering do? You mean the steering wheel is very loose and goosey?
No. It's when I turn to a certain point, either side of straight ahead, the steering gets a little bit sticky. It just requires a couple extra calories, and away I go. I can keep the turn going.
Oh, so as you're taking a left turn, it will prevent you from continuing with the left turn unless you give it a little extra oomph.
There's a hitch in the steering, you would say.
There you go.
There you go.
That's exactly right. You know how when you turn a corner and you let go of the steering wheel and it comes back to center?
Yeah.
Well, sometimes it doesn't do that.
Yeah. And this happens in both directions?
Yeah. And it comes and goes. It's freaky.
Comes and goes.
This is an 84?
84.
Tercel, it does have power steering.
No.
Well, that's good then, because it'll be cheaper.
It will be cheaper.
Yeah, you know what? You may need, Toyotas are famous for this.
Uh-huh.
And there is a coupling at the bottom of the steering column, which is a universal joint.
A U-joint.
Yes.
Exactly.
And that coupling connects the steering column to the rack and pinion.
Yes.
And when that U-joint seizes up, what you'll notice, and you can sit in your driveway and do this.
Okay, good.
With the engine off, because it doesn't have power steering and it doesn't make any difference if the engine's running or not.
Uh-huh.
Turn the wheel and try to figure out how many degrees you turn it before it gets hard.
Okay.
And then continue to turn and see if it gets hard in the same spot again. In other words, if the emblem is pointing toward your house,
mm-hmm.
the Toyota emblem on the middle of the wheel, when you come around to that again, see if it gets hard again, because as you come around to that same spot where that U-joint is supposed to flex and can't, it'll get hard to steer. And see if it's the same number of degrees left and right of center.
Okay.
And that will tell you it's that coupling.
Okay.
And that coupling is pretty easy to replace. It's not necessarily something you can do yourself.
I see.
But it's about 100-something bucks.
Oh, that's worth it.
For the part.
That'll double the value of that car.
I was going to say, it might triple it.
This thing is worth about 12 cents, but it costs 100 bucks.
Right. But it's actually pretty easy to replace, and you could take it to a gas station and have them do it. And the way you find out if, in fact, the way they'll find out or corroborate our theory mm-hmm. is that when you take this coupling off, you'll be able to flex that universal joint in one direction, but not the other.
I see. Okay. Well, cool.
And get it done, because eventually it'll get really hard to steer. And it could be dangerous, because if you had to make an evasive move, you might not be able to.
Well, okay.
An elk might run across the road.
Of course, that's always an issue. I'm more concerned with an SUV across
the road. That's to see it, Dan.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Hey, we got Sal back. Sal, are you there?
Hello, yeah, this is Sal. How you doing?
He's back. Sal!
What's going on?
I missed your voice, man. I just wanted to hear you talk a little bit.
Yeah, tell us something about yourself. What do you do out there in Long Island? I mean,
okay,
besides warm up your car every morning for 45 minutes.
No, I mean, you live close to the city. You don't live at the other end of Long Island.
No, I'm out in Suffolk County. I'm about an hour from the city.
Yeah.
And I'm retired 35 years from the post office.
You are? See, now, I thought you were a young guy.
Well, 55, I retired.
Oh, you're pretty young.
And for a hobby, I breed dogs.
No kidding.
Yeah, I have bull terriers.
I just breathe air. I thought I was
no,
doing
breed,
good.
Breed,
oh, breed.
That's my New York accent.
What are bull terriers?
It's like a Staffordshire Terrier.
I think we had one of them when I was a kid. He bit my sister and the mailman. When he bit the mailman, my parents got rid of him.
We've only lost one mailman so far since I'm here 25 years.
But you
think that you you delivered mail, or did you work in the building?
No, I worked in the building as a data technician.
Oh, so.
And then I handled customer service for a while, but I couldn't wait to get out. When I turned 55, all they saw was a cloud of smoke.
That must have been a great job, customer service.
It was good. I handled problems that other people didn't want to handle. When customers call up and they were upset, and I would talk to them, and before you know it, they were thanking me.
Really?
Hey, that's very good.
And they let you go, huh? At age 55, in a cloud of dust.
Believe me, after I was gone a week, they didn't miss me.
Right, Sal who?
and you lived in the same place roughly where you live now?
About 27 years. Before that, Bayside.
Yeah.
I always wanted to move to Long Island, or upstate, but upstate's too far.
Yes.
I couldn't commute from upstate.
Well, you could move there now because you don't have to commute anymore.
Well, you know what? I have three sons. And I'm very close with them, and I really don't want to move too far where I can't see them.
Well, there may be a day when you want to get far away from them, but for right now, enjoy them.
Hey, Sal, you've been a joy and a pleasure.
Next time I want to call up and tell you about my 1983 sedan DeVille with a soft cam that's running on 7 cylinders.
All right, well, we'll be waiting
really?
For your call. But,
okay?
Sal, we're rooting against the Yankees. I hope you know that.
I don't care.
See you later.
I'm a baseball fan.
Bye-bye.
Take care now, bye.
See you later. Boy, oh boy.
Okay, we have a little break coming up here, I think.
You know, listeners at home probably don't realize this, but whenever we take a break, the Car Talk Rockettes come streaming out of the control room, fill up the studio here, and do a fabulous high-kicking number for us. They don't know that.
You expect people to believe that, huh?
Okay, would you believe Bugsy comes out in a trench coat with the belt pulled really tight?
There you go. We'll be back with a brand new puzzler and more of your calls in just a minute, so please stay tuned.
You're going to need a truck to get things done. You can haul a little lumber in a minivan, but really ain't much fun. Try on cement by bag in the backseat of a Jag. You're going to need a truck. Early on. cold Saturday morning, cup of coffee in my hand. Me and the little lady were reviewing our daily plans. We're headed on down to the lumber yard to get everything on the list. And then in a stroke of genius, she found one thing that I had missed. You're gonna need a truck to get things done. You can haul little lumber in a minivan, but it really ain't much fun.
And even though NPR's marching band forms a huge SOS at the 50-yard line whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio. Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler.
Yeah?
New.
What series is this from? World Series?
Jeez, I don't know. I'll have to think.
It may stand alone.
It may stand alone at least for a few weeks.
Go ahead.
Turns out this rich old geezer passes away, and when his lawyer reads his will, he's surprised to find out that he's left his entire estate to his three ne'er-do-well nephews, Chip, Skip, and Nunzio. And did I say he was rich? Well, he had been rich.
Yeah.
But he had the good sense to spend most of his money on women and wine, and then like a fool, he squandered the rest. And he had left, the only thing he had left was 17 sports cars. So the lawyer and the three legatees, I guess you would call them,
Chip, Skip, and Nunzio,
show up at the carriage house to look at the cars. And the three of them walk in, and the lawyer says, oh, by the way, your uncle, in his will, left one-third of the cars to Chip, half of the cars to Skip, and a ninth of the cars to Nunzio.
Mm.
And they look at them and they say, what do we do now? There are 17 cars.
Yeah.
And they're ready to duke it out. They don't know how to divvy them up. The lawyer's no help. And who should waltz in? Krusty.
Yeah.
Krusty walks in and he looks around at the situation, overhears their conversation and their consternation, and he proposes a solution.
Yeah.
And the lawyer and the three inheritors say, this is genius. And the question is, what did he propose? And more importantly, why did it work? Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on a postcard or a Steinway concert grand piano and send it to new Steinway
new.
Concert
grand okay. piano.
Send it to Puzzler Tower. Don't write it on the side. Write it on the bottom. Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238, or you can email your answer to us from cartalk.com. And if you have questions about your car or anything that we've said the last 21 years, the number to call is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is David from Brooklyn, and can you tell that I'm from Brooklyn the way you tell that Sal was from Long Island?
Not as well.
Not as well.
No, you...
You're definitely a New Yorker.
All right.
But Sal just kind of leapt out of the... the speaker at us.
It just flowed out of him.
Yeah. I mean, if you were looking for someone to cast in a movie, Sal walked up and he said, you guys looking for someone from New York? He'd be the one you grabbed.
Well, I have a 95 Ford Escort minivan, which is a great car, but there's a blinking light on it that is driving me absolutely crazy. It's one of these things, you know, they don't seem to use letters anymore. They just use these little symbols.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it's the picture of a driver holding the steering wheel, and it keeps flashing, and you would think it would be the power steering fluid, but it's not that because it's filled. And
you're not going to like this.
I'm not going to like this.
I don't think so.
No. Well,
one mechanic said it was the alarm system. The only problem with that is that it doesn't have an alarm system.
Well, I think if you look in your owner's book, which you may still have, it's in the glove box.
You didn't try that?
Well, no, because I bought the car. I mean, it's a 95 car. I bought it about a month ago used, and I don't think it had...
What happens to the owner's manuals with used... I mean, that thing should be riveted to the car. You're not allowed to take that in the house to read it. You have to read it in the car.
That's what I always do.
Hopefully not while you're driving. But.
Hopefully not while you're driving, but it should be. There should be a tether on it of some kind, because you buy a used car and that thing is gone.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, maybe somebody spills coffee on it, or it has incriminating evidence, like they never took it in for the services. Now, I bought a used car recently, and it had the maintenance schedule, you know, the place where they're supposed to be the stamps from the dealer.
Yeah. No.
Not a thing on it. Anyway, I think you may find out that icon is telling you that the airbag is not working.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, he lives in New York. Oh, maybe. Someone may have borrowed his airbag.
So that would just on the, I mean, just on the driver's side.
Has this been on since day one?
Yeah, it doesn't stop. The only thing I can think of is putting tape over it, but that I don't think that's solved.
Yeah. Well, you need to take it into probably the Ford dealer. And have them put the scanner on it, and it'll tell them what's going on and why the light is on.
They may have to do an MRI to search for the airbag.
So if you have an accident, you don't have an airbag.
So maybe that is something I should look into.
Yeah, you should look into it. I mean, after
I
all...
I would look into it.
I mean, you know, that's why those things are there, so they can protect you in the event that you crash the car. So you should take it in.
And they work, as we know.
Okay, thanks very much.
All righty, thanks for your call. Bye-bye.
Maybe he didn't sound like he really cared that much about saving his life.
Well,
he depressed?
Well, he was afraid it might cost a lot of money.
And then what would he do in his old age?
Exactly. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's
888-227-8255.
Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, this is Stefna calling from San Francisco.
Who?
Stefna?
Stefna.
All right, spell it.
S-T-E-P-H-N-A.
Well, that's what I would have said, but...
Usually people mistake it and say it's an F in the middle.
Stefna.
Yeah.
From San Francisco?
From San Francisco.
Well, it could be F if Stefna. It was...
Stefna. Sounds Rusky to me.
I wish I had some kind of, like, exotic
reason. All right.
But...
Does Hey Ashbury have anything to do with this?
No. You know...
Were your parents a little high when they named you?
It's quite possible.
What's up, Stefna?
I have a 94 Mazda Protege. It's a stick shift. And lately I've been driving in a lot of stop-and-go traffic, about 60 miles every day. And when I'm stuck in the traffic and I'm going really slow and I'm in first or second gear, my car has started chugging and bucking and lurching. And the only way I can get it to stop is either to put the clutch all the way down or to put it into a higher gear.
Oh, really?
Really. It reminds me of, it happens like when I first learned how to drive stick. And,
right.
You know, you don't know how to quite get the clutch and the gas together. But when it's happening, the clutch is completely out.
Your foot is all the way off the clutch pedal?
All the way off the clutch.
If you give it gas, it will...
Lurch even worse.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, have you ever tried flooring it when it's doing this?
Well... I can't because I'm in traffic.
Right. And the problem is with the clutch.
It is.
Yeah, I believe so. The next time it does it and you can floor it, you're going to verify that the problem is not in the engine or whatever.
What's going to happen when I floor it?
Well, you're going to crash into the guy. But after that...
Besides that.
No, what's going to happen is it's going to go away. And I think the problem is coming because the clutch is chattering as you engage it. And you set up this cycle. This happens every time I drive a Saab. For whatever reason, Saab clutches and I don't agree. And I get into this mode where the car starts to buck.
And you can't get out of it.
I try to do something. And as the car bucks and slows down, my foot goes down on the gas. It goes on the clutch. And you get into this. And the car is bunny hopping down the road. And, of course, if you floor the gas pedal with your foot off the clutch, it will go away. Or if you shift to a higher gear.
Yeah, that's what happens.
Yeah, it'll almost always go away.
So do I need a new clutch?
You may need a new clutch.
How old is your current clutch?
It's 94. I never had done anything to it.
And how much of your driving has been... Oh, you're in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Any hills there?
A few.
Why did you buy a stick shift in San Francisco?
I just moved to San Francisco 6 months ago. I've had my car since 95.
Ah, okay.
So. And you previously lived in what, like Oklahoma?
Yeah, flat areas.
Well, you may have ruined the clutch. By, I know, well...
It's no big deal.
Well, it's many hundreds of dollars, and the point is that if you're going to ruin the next clutch and the next one and the next one,
mm-hmm.
you might consider getting rid of the car. Of course, you'll never sell it in San Francisco. Is it still registered where your home state was?
Yeah. Maybe I can just sell it where I'm from.
Drive home for Christmas and put the sign on it and get yourself a nice automatic. But I think you toasted the clutch.
Okay.
Yeah. And you know that's true, huh?
That's what I was suspecting. I just didn't want to hear it. I wanted to hear a really simple, like, $20 answer.
Yeah. Well, we could have done that, but
yeah.
that wouldn't be the American
the ad in the paper will cost you only $20, so...
Okay.
All right. See you, Stephanie.
Thank you.
Right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Jim. I'm calling from Seaford, New York.
Where's that?
Long Island.
Really? Why that's not? Where Sal's from.
I heard.
Oh, you sound a little like him.
Oh, that's because I'm a mailman.
You are?
Yes.
What's going on here today?
This is
a very strange day.
This is a strange day.
So what's up, Jim?
All right. If you like strange days, you're going to like this.
Okay.
I have a magazine article that describes how to build a potter's wheel out of an old car transmission.
A car transmission?
A car transmission.
Oh, a manual transmission.
Sure.
Ooh, of course. I love it.
It's a brilliant idea.
It's a brilliant idea, and apparently the guy did it back in the 70s, and I want to reproduce it. The problem I have is I need a little help. So I go to the junkyard, I know what I'm talking about, because he's pretty specific about the requirements for the transmission.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, I'm going to read you a couple of sentences from the article. Go to the funkiest, oldest junkyard or scrapyard you can find.
Mm-hmm.
And look for a stick shift transmission with the gear shift coming directly out of the transmission housing.
Right.
Make sure it has a flat surface on the output shaft to accept the wheel head. An automobile 3-speed stick shift is best.
Right.
But in a pinch, a heavier 4-speed from a truck will work.
Got it.
Okay?
Yeah.
So what am I looking for here?
You're not going to find it. Well, only because there aren't many vehicles with a 3-speed transmission.
But you can even go for 4. 4's all right, too.
Okay.
Because what you're going to do is you're going to attach an electric motor
to the input.
To the input shaft.
To the input side of the train.
And then in order to get your different speed, the nice thing about this, you'll have the only potter's wheel that you can use backwards, too, because you have reverse.
That's correct.
You can, and not only that, but you could make anything.
But more importantly, he's worried about the output shaft. And typically, transmissions have a slip joint for the drive shaft, and which would eliminate most of those from his recommendation. However, you can easily adapt any transmission that has that kind of slip joint.
Okay.
Because all you've got to do is take that drive shaft end to a welding shop and have him weld a flange onto this thing. You know what a flange is?
Yes, that would hold the wheel head.
That would hold the wheel head. So,
you
and it's,
got it.
You know, if you explain what you're going to use it for,
right.
They will be able to weld that thing so it's perfectly perpendicular to the shaft that's going to slide into the back of the transmission.
Okay.
I love it.
And he does he then give you some suggestions for when you're using it, what gear to be in?
Yes, he says that low gear, what did he use? He used the one for the fastest gear for centering the clay.
Sure.
Yeah,
which is on a regular wheel, that would be the fastest speed anyway.
Yeah.
And he used second for the early stages of throwing and finishing small things, and for large platters and bowls, the third gear.
How about climbing hills? What did he recommend for climbing hills?
First gear.
Now listen, you have also another degree of freedom. You can put a motor whose speed you can vary. There are speed controls for electric motors.
Yeah, but that's when it gets very expensive.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He doesn't want to mess
with
that.
You want to do this for like $9, right?
I'm looking for like $9. Yeah, the thing about...
And you can do it.
A conventional electric wheel goes for about $1,000.
Now, I can imagine. Now, a lot of transmissions will have this shifter that goes right into the top of the transmission, specifically truck transmissions.
Okay.
So you may have to get a transmission out of like a Ford Ranger pickup or something like that.
That's what I drive, but then how will I get to work?
hey, you know, there are sacrifices that artists have to make.
That's right.
So you do this pottery to kind of soothe your nerves so you don't go postal?
Well, yeah, that was the idea, but learning how to throw pots can be just as frustrating as working for the post office, but I am getting better.
Well, I took a pottery course a couple of years ago.
Okay.
And it
until they caught him at it, and they threw him out.
But it is calming, and it's wonderful.
Yes, it is, and it's not as easy as it looks.
No, it isn't. That's why I never went back for the second course. It is hard.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, and I made a couple of, you don't want to know what they were.
Yeah, no, I think you made some pretty nice stuff, actually.
Yeah. Well, you know, my specialty was...
I can't remember what it was.
Paperweights were my specialty...
Yeah, well, the transmission will do that.
All right.
Good luck, Jim.
So the bottom line is I don't necessarily have to look for something from a 37 Chevy.
Or... No. I'm telling you, a small pickup truck, what else has...
You'll end up getting a 4-speed.
Okay.
But even a 5-speed, you know, you can get something from a late model Toyota, for example.
Beautiful.
And you want the cheapest one they have.
The cheapest one they have. So you'd recommend a junkyard and not a transmission shop?
Oh!
No. Go to a junkyard.
And
you should be able to walk out of there with as many transmissions as you want for $50.
I'd love it.
See you, Jim.
Thanks for the help.
Send us a picture of your work.
I will.
All right. Good luck, man.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, it's happened again. You've squandered another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are Louis Cronin the Barbarian and David the Calves of Belleville Green. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor. Just back from the Miami-Dade Sushi Grade, Tuna Filet, Rumelade, Minute Maid Marmalade, and Gatorade Promenade is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our personal hygiene advisor from the Tokyo office is Oteka Shawa. Our transgender studies expert is Ben Hur. Our ranch foreman is Hyman Old Cowhand. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. Our mother-in-law liaison is Stella Payne Diaz, who's married to our father-in-law liaison, Royal Payne Diaz, who are the proud parents of a teenage daughter, Sasha Payne Diaz, and a little dog, Toto Payne Diaz. And the head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to all his deputy assistant bums in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and remember, don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 948, scratch through the Car Talk archives, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com, or if you prefer, you can call the Shameless Commerce Division for Car Talk gifts at 888-CAR-JUNK.
Also this week at cartalk.com, a topic on which many would say I'm one of the nation's leading experts.
Oh, beard-based food storage?
No, how to keep your car running forever.
I suppose so. These days, a lot of folks are planning to hold on to their cars an extra year or two.
Or 10.
So we've written up our best advice on keeping your car running long-term.
Rule number one. Never let my brother work on it.
Or let my brother live in it.
How to keep your car running forever. Our best advice available all week at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Malyazis everywhere think to themselves, you know, Smith has a nice ring to it whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio.